Well, welcome everybody to another adventure on our live stream. As you can tell, I'm flying solo today. Mark has a family commitment, so he sends his regards. But hopefully, if you want to leave now, that's okay. You know, I won't look at how many people are joining on. But I'm glad that you actually are brave enough to join us again. It's always amazing that, you know, when everybody comes and I just feel like it's family, that, you know, we're just coming around the world and joining like this. And so I so appreciate each and every one of you. And I pray that, we'll have an interesting time tonight. I for those who have looked at the topic that I thought about talking about, at least giving it a go, is the glorious life of a little lair. And so I think a lot of you might be able to have an idea what I might be talking about. But I'm going to be actually approaching it in a little bit of a different perspective than normal tonight. So hopefully that'll work out well. I'm just looking over when I look aside here. I'm looking at all the comments. Hope everybody's doing well and being blessed. I just see, we've got our friends from the UK, of course, and Denmark, and Germany, and Finland. Big hugs from Canada. It's always amazing. I trust everybody can hear me okay. Oftentimes when we kind of the sound check that Mark and I do is with each other. Like, can you hear me, Mark? And if you can hear me, put a thumbs up in the Facebook comments to make sure that I'm coming through loud and clear. But I don't have any announcements. If there are any Father Heart things going on I should announce, feel free to put them in the comments, and I can just mention those as well. We do want to pray for dear Rosalind and what she posted in the chat. Yeah, Father, we just pray for Rosalind and just to bring comfort to her and her family now and just the difficult time they're having. Thanks, Jan, for saying we can hear you. That's awesome. And typically, we'd have a bit of an intro and some banter and how was our week and how was the weather and all those things. I don't think you just want me to talk about that. But I guess we'll just kind of get right in it, and, whether I have enough to fill the time, only time will tell. So I'm wanting to talk about the idea of, again, what does it mean to be an heir of God? And I saw a Facebook meme today, and it was, I can't quote it, but it was basically saying that, the life is all about not learning or looking towards the sweet by and by when we die and be with Jesus, and then, to experience the kingdom of God, that the Christian life is really about learning to live in a kingdom perspective, enjoying the kingdom of heaven here on earth right now. So I think that's what I just want to unpack a little bit. Hopefully it is, it's practical, for all of us. And, but I'll just start with praying, and then we'll just see where we go. So Father, we thank you that, Jesus came to bring us life and abundant life, over super abundant life. And Father, and you know every one of our circumstances, our situations, and if we're having a good day or a very difficult day. And Father, and every day in between, you are continuing to love us. And we just pray that, we would just have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Father, I pray that when I just speak today, that I would just speak out of my life experience, that I wouldn't go beyond that. I wouldn't try to go beyond my depth, but I would just be honest and real. And I just pray that, your Holy Spirit would just encourage each one of us, strengthen us. And I just feel that there's something very practical you want to impart to your kids tonight. So we just say yes and amen to that, and just thank you that you really are our Father, that we aren't orphans. We are truly heirs, sons and daughters to Yahweh forever. And I just pray that revelation of sonship and belonging to you and being part of the family of God forever will just, yeah, it touches at the very core of our heart today. And thank you, Jesus, for making all this possible. And all God's people around the world said amen. So, yeah, so I just want to unpack, again, the what has happened in the Christian life. When we are, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God in John 3. And so every person who has had our entrance in the kingdom of God has come the same way, that we have had an experience, an awakening in our spirit. We have experienced a new birth, right? So that we are able to, Colossians says we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And so I want to just unpack what that means. And I thought I would read Ephesians chapter 2. Starting at verse 1, and I'm going to read quite a chunk going up to verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, just to it really, because I like this, because it really describes kind of the old man, the new man, and where we are now. So I'm just going to read it. It says, "You were made alive when you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now works in the children of disobedience. We also all once lived among them in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God..." And that's so amazing, that "but God, being rich in his mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, that no one should boast." And verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we would walk in them." So, you know, we all know this to be true. We know that we pass from darkness into light. We have an old nature and we have a new nature. You know, we now... It's just amazing when you think about it. The Bible says that because, "but God, being rich in mercy, he has caused us now to raise us up in heavenly places, and we are seated with Christ." And I love how the Amplified Version says that. It says that we've been given joint seating with him. And that means that it's not like, you know, when you think about the throne room of God, and you might think of God the Father on the biggest throne, and then God the Son on the second biggest throne at his right hand. And then, you know, because we were seated in heavenly places with Christ, it's like, you know, we all have these tiny, you know, minuscule thrones, and we're in the heavenly realms. No, the Bible says that we have joint seating, that we actually sit with Christ, hid with Christ in God at the right hand of the Father on the throne of Jesus himself. It is a most amazing thing when we begin to understand at a deeper level what our inheritance is. And so this is why when we talk about this idea of becoming heirs, and, you know, what does it actually mean to become an heir of God, to live as an heir, to, you know, learn to rule and reign with Jesus. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, Paul talks about this again. So he's talking about a contrast, right, between, again, the old nature and the new nature, the death and life, you know. And so he says, "And because you are children, God sent out the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." And again, so we are hearing this, you know, and again, this is something that we, you know, we can see throughout Scripture, where it says we are not slaves, you know, we're not servants, but we're sons and daughters, and that God has given us the Spirit of his Son, and that Spirit in us cries, "Abba, Father," right? And of course, 1 John 3:1-2 says, "Behold how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. For this cause the world doesn't know us, because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it is not yet revealed what we will be, but we know that when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him just as he is. And so, again, we don't know what eternity is going to look like for us. You know, the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with Jesus forever. And, you know, NASA, the space agency in the United States, you know, recently updated their estimate, and they think there's between 1 and 2 trillion galaxies in what they call the known universe. So, like, a galaxy is pretty big. We live in the Milky Way that has 100 million stars in the Milky Way, and our galaxy is considered one of the smallest ones. And the Bible says that, you know, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus forever. So I'm not sure what that looks like. But if I put my little boy hat on and my, you know, I give myself permission to think, you know, dream impossible dreams, I would not be surprised in any way, shape, or form if we are ruling and reigning. And maybe we all get a galaxy or 2 or 10. Or 1,000, I don't know, to rule and reign with Jesus. But the reality is that John says in 1 John 3 that we are children now. It's not like in the sweet by and by that we are going to come into this revelation of sonship. It's for today. It's for this very moment. And so we are dealing with this contrast that, you know, you and I can struggle with, and that's this idea of the old man, the old life, and the new life, right? And so that's where we can actually struggle with that. And, you know, again, another scripture that Paul writes about is in Romans 8:15-17, and this is very, very close to the Galatians chapter in Galatians 4 that I just read. But again, starting at verse 15, Paul says, "For you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him." So again, you know, this is this contrast of the spirit of bondage that makes us a slave to fear. Like, we didn't receive that spirit. We received the spirit of sonship. And that Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are God's kids. And, you know, I love the idea that it says, when it says that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children, it means that he's giving corroborating evidence. So that means, like, if we were in a court of law, and then, you know, the Holy Spirit would be called to the witness stand, and he would give evidence from the witness stand legally saying that you are a child of God, you are a much loved son, you are a much loved daughter. And it's like, so when he bears witness with our spirit, he's saying you are a child of God. And not only are you a child of God, you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, or a co-heir. And the most amazing thing, when we begin to unpack that a joint heir or a co-heir of Christ is different than us just being, you know, an heir with just a sliver of the inheritance. Being a joint heir with Jesus means that Jesus himself has gladly shared his entire inheritance with each and every one of us. It means that it's not like he's parceled up his inheritance into all these small pieces. He has actually said, the inheritance that I have is your inheritance. And I want you to know that. And the Holy Spirit is putting the exclamation mark on that yes, we are children of God and joint heirs. And of course, the Holy Spirit it's just amazing. You know, we read in Romans 5:5 that God pours his love into our hearts by the Spirit which he's given us. So the Holy Spirit that lives in us is actually the venue, the way, the river in us that is the gushing of God's love. And in 2 Corinthians 1:21-22, again, this is Paul writing. He says, "Now he who establishes us with Christ, with you in Christ, and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the down payment of the Spirit in our hearts." Think about this for a moment. If you ever doubt your inheritance, if you ever doubt your place in the family of God, you know, and sometimes I get emails from people all around the world who are concerned that somehow they did something or said something that was so horrific in that sense in their eyes, you know, whether it was just even a judgment that they are now separated from the family of God. And I just want to encourage you, you can't unring that bell. When you are born again into the kingdom of God and God becomes your father and Jesus becomes your big brother and you're joined with Jesus, you become a co-heir. It is a seal deal. Now that doesn't mean we don't mess up and we don't miss it and we don't fall and we don't sin and there's absolute restoration for us. But the Holy Spirit in you, Christ in you is the hope of glory, but the Holy Spirit in you is the down payment. It's the deposit to guarantee your inheritance. You know, if you were to buy a house, and the first thing you would do is you would give a deposit on that house. You'd give a down payment on that house to secure that house. That means just saying, this house belongs to me. Well, God the Father did the same thing when he sent his Holy Spirit in our hearts, that we are now, like, he is an absolute deposit and a down payment to remind us that we belong to God. So, like, this is the reality of the Christian life. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Now, I just want to encourage you for a second. Do you believe that you are a new creation? And the most amazing thing is that new creation is, it's like it's a new species altogether. You know, there was God himself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son took on human flesh and he became like one of us, our great high priest, so he could identify with us. And now, because of what he did on the cross and when he was born again, and the Bible says that he was the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, that there was this absolute creation of a brand new species, which is you and me. And we are children of God and heirs of God. And when we begin to unpack that, it's like, what does that mean? So if we are heirs of God, then, you know, what is the antithesis of that? What is the opposite of that? You know, and that means, like, if we were heirs now, what were we before? Well, we were dead in our sins, right? We were in darkness. And one of the descriptors of a mindset, you know, that I really appreciate and is very helpful for me is this idea of kind of an orphan heart, right? So if we were, before we were legitimate sons and daughters born again in the kingdom, you know, often we were, you know, we struggled with this orphan mindset, right? Because it's something that is fatherless, right? It's like if you don't have a father in a natural context, then you are an orphan. And, you know, we understand that there are all kinds of orphan-hearted mindsets. And if you look at kind of a natural sense of what an orphan thinks about or how they process, like if they lived in a legitimate orphanage, you would see that sometimes that, you know, they struggle to wonder if anybody cares about them in this world. And, you know, an orphan-hearted mindset in the context of being a Christian is that you might believe that God loves others, but he couldn't possibly love us. You know, orphans don't feel like they have people watching out for their good, so they have to continually work hard to gain acceptance, and they live in a constant fear of rejection, right? Orphans can struggle to find peace and rest and struggle to live in uncertainty. And so there's so many things that describe this idea of an orphan heart or an orphan mindset. And the thing that I so appreciated when I first heard this teaching on the orphan heart was through James Jordan, which a lot of you know. And James was the one that, you know, many years ago when it was just amazing that when he started talking about the orphan heart and it's the opposite of the spirit of the son. It really just, to me, it just put form to understanding some of the struggles that you and I can have in our relationship with God and learning to live as the legitimate heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. So that's what I want to just unpack today. You know, this glorious life of little heirs that, you know, that which we all are, right? Because that's what John says in 1 John 3, he says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. And the new International Version Bible in English has two exclamation points. So that's what we are. But is there anybody, am I the only one? Let me just ask this question. Am I the only one on the live stream, or if you're watching afterwards, that has struggled with thoughts that are not in alignment with our true heavenly identity? And, you know, you don't have to put your hand up. I'm looking at the comments, but you don't have to, you can put thumbs up if you want. But I really believe this idea of the orphan mindset in the heir, like learning to live as heirs, is something that we can, you know, all wrestle with, you know. And so, you know, for me, as you guys know, I can be very, very visual, you know, and I love things that are going to bring some illustration. So if you look at this graphic that I have, and for those who are perhaps listening by audio, you may want to watch the video later, but I have, you know, this graphic of an orphan on one side, right? And that is that side, and an heir on the other side. And it's kind of like I think there's this saying, I think it's an indigenous saying that says that there's a black dog, and a white dog, and forgive me if I'm not saying it right, that are constantly trying to get my attention, you know, being the black dog being kind of more of an evil influence and the white dog being a good influence. So the person was asked, so which one dominates? And the person said, the dog I feed the most. And so, you know, I kind of like to think, like, my life is like this. This is, as you see, an orphan and an heir. You see the contrast that we can have between an orphan mindset, which is our old way. It's our old identity. And then there's the life of a son or daughter of God. And so when I began to look at life in my struggles in life in this way, it just became very, very practical for me, because I just want to encourage you, like when we talk about orphan hearts or orphan mindsets or orphan ways, orphan belief systems, I mean, there's all kinds of things. I mean, I like to think of it as like orphan residue. That meaning that, you know, when we were born again into the kingdom of God, we were joined with Jesus, right? We have a new nature. We are joined with Jesus. We're seated at the right hand of the Father right now. Even though our bodies are on planet Earth, our spirits are somehow connected with heaven at all times. So that's our true identity. But here we have this struggle so our spirit man is a new creation. But where does the residue of the orphan mindset, where does that kind of, where's our struggle with that? And I believe it's in the soul. You know, your mind, your will, and emotions. Because, you know, we just as God is three part, we are three part because we were created in His image. And we have a body, we have a soul, and a spirit. And our body is our body. We've got it for life here until we get a new body. Our spirit is born again, and it absolutely is in line with the new creation reality, right? And that, you know, sometimes we call that our heart. But then we have our soul, and our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. And it's the soul that is being conformed, that's being transformed, it's being worked on and developed and coming into alignment with the kingdom realities. But that's where we have the struggle, because we live in an orphan world system. We live in a, you know, even though democracy is it's not the best, but it's the best that orphans can do, you know, to manage other orphans. You know, like it's just, we live in a world that's dog eat dog. You know, everybody's out for number one. You know, nobody gets anything for free. And so it's this orphan influence in our life that can absolutely create all this tension with the kingdom reality. But the truth is, when God sees you and me, He sees us as His kids. So if I'm going to point there, yeah, I am pointing. This is how He sees you. This is how all heaven sees you, as an heir of God. And the Bible says that even angels are ministering servants to the heirs of salvation. Now, I just encourage you, where you are, just put your hand on your heart right now and say, Father, I thank You that I am an heir of salvation. I am Your legitimate heir. You know, I am not that orphan. I am not fatherless. I am not, you know, on my own, trying to fend for myself, trying to manage life. But so often, because of the residue of the orphan way of thinking, we have this struggle that we can battle with. And the best way that I can honestly say my life is, to describe my life, is that God is continuing to love the orphan out of me. So this is not anything to bring any kind of judgment or shame or condemnation or navel gazing. This is just realizing that, you know, there are things in our life, there are mindsets, there are influences that aren't coming from the new creation reality, but they're coming from the old man. And so when we realize that, and it's a simple thing. What was I thinking? I'm a son. You know, I remember going to a, and this seems very, very trivial, and it is very trivial, but to illustrate a point, I remember going to a movie theater with my wife and another couple, friends of ours, and Ann and I got popcorn and my friends didn't. And so here we are watching this movie, and so I offer some popcorn to my friend, and he takes the bag, and he keeps eating it, and he doesn't, you know, it's not like he's, you know, I could get the bag back if I wanted to, but he just kept eating my popcorn. And as crazy as it sounds, you know, I started to be irritated with that, and I was distracted from even watching the movie until the father said to me, "Ah, Barry, don't worry about it. You're thinking like an orphan. You know, it's okay. You know, next time you come to the theater, you know, don't let it steal your peace." And he said, "Next time, buy your friend some popcorn, and it'll be fine." And, you know, or, you know, if I'm driving down the highway, and there's an on-ramp, and people are trying to get in, and there's, a lineup of cars, and there's traffic jams, and people are trying to sneak in front of me. And then all of a sudden, I have this knee-jerk reaction, like, you know, I don't want to let them in. And then all of a sudden, you know, I think, oh, man, that's... You know, it's like the father says, "Barry, don't think that way. Just let them in. Just love on them. You know, they might be in a hurry." And it's little things like that that I really feel are very practical things that help me to understand in my own life how I struggle with orphan attitudes and how the Father, he wants you and I to come into a place of knowing that we are much loved sons and daughters to Yahweh, that every biblical promise of the new kingdom reality is our inheritance now. And it's just, but to understand that there's a tension, that we were these things, but we're not those things now. And it's just the more that we expose it for what it is, the more that we realize that there can be a transformation, then the more I think it can put very, very practical applications to how everyday life is and how we deal with things. So I just want to go through just a few of the mindsets, the contrasting mindsets, and this is not for you to necessarily, you know, go navel gazing and try to figure out, you know, any orphan ways or anything else, but maybe it just might be helpful, because I know for me, you know, when I am able to just be able to see it for what it is, it takes away any power of it. And just to think, oh, what am I thinking? I'm a son. I'm not an orphan. My dad owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What was I thinking about, you know, being, you know, having a poverty mindset or being worried about the future or all those things? And so I don't know. I'm just going to go through some of these and hopefully they'll be helpful. And if not, just spit out the bones and just love me anyway. But, you know, when we struggle with an orphan mindset, you know, it's like we, in John 8, 41 to 44, Jesus talks about the devil as being the father of lies. And when he lies, he speaks his native language. So, you know, oftentimes when the devil wants to speak to us about things, he won't go and do something, say something so bizarre that it can't be believable. He will say something that's very close to the truth, but he will twist it. And the reality is that when we listen to the lies of who we are, our identity in Christ, maybe our past or whatever, you know, the enemy will rail accusations that is continually. But when we begin to understand as sons and daughters to Yahweh that, you know, we don't believe the father of lies, we are blessed by the Father of lights. And James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You know, an orphan-hearted mindset, when they see God, they don't see him as a father, they see him as a taskmaster. But, you know, when we are sons and daughters to Yahweh, we know that he is a loving father. He is the absolute epitome of love. And so we're not afraid of him. You know, then the idea of, you know, Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it's the fear of the Lord is this deep reverence and respect and honor for God. It's not being afraid of him, because 1 John 4:18 says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. You know, orphans, of course, have an orphan mindset. They think like orphans. They process things like being fatherless, you know, because they're acting like, okay, I have to figure this out on my own. Well, the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ, and that we can begin to think God thoughts, and we can be thinking from a different realm, from a different dimension in the kingdom, where we don't operate from the principles of this world. Orphans struggle to feel loved, right? They, you know, even as Christians, you might have the faith to believe that God loves your neighbor, but maybe you struggle to really believe that God loves you intimately and personally. But when we begin to reject the lies of the orphan and embrace the truth of who we are as heirs, then we make our home in love. That's what it says in 1 John 4:16. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. I don't know about you, but I want to make my home in love. Now, when I talk about these contrasting thoughts, I'm not saying that I'm living all the time in this heir thing. I struggle with this one. These thoughts are real. They're the residue from an orphan world system, and God is continuing to love the orphan out of me. But when we begin to realize that, yeah, this is just part of everyday life, and don't beat ourselves up, but this is, you know, just part of the convincing that the Father is doing for us every day. Orphans lead by their heads, right? And I'm not saying God loves your mind. He loves your brain. He gave you an amazing ability to think. But I believe that oftentimes, if we're not careful, that we can be, you know, so analytical in our relationship with God and others that we try to quantify everything and understand everything, that we can't live from our hearts. But the beautiful thing about living as heirs is that God wants us to learn to live from our hearts. And, you know, it's the most easy way, I believe, that God has designed us to live, is to live from our hearts. Do what you love to do. I think it was St. Augustine that said, love God and do as you please. And basically, that doesn't mean to live a sinful life. That means that when we love God, we can trust our hearts, and that our hearts we have a new heart, and we can be led by that heart. You know, so many times I've prayed for people in the past, and I've asked them, like, what is on your heart? What were you created to do? What do you love to do? And even people into their, you know, their old age, they look at me with sadness in their eyes, and they just say, I don't know. I've never given myself permission to ask those questions. I just want to encourage you, as a son or daughter to Yahweh, the Father wants us to be able to learn to live from our hearts. Orphans, an orphan mindset, you know, operates from the principles of this world. You know, the Bible is, you know, talks about the kingdom of God, and you know, we might call it the upside down kingdom, but it's actually the right side up kingdom. So the world that we're in, where God says he's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, he's chosen the weak things to confound the strong, he's chosen the poor things to shame the rich. And so when we begin to understand that we're not operating under the principles of this world, in everyday life, when you go to work, when you're dealing with your finances, when you're looking at the media, we don't operate from the kingdom of this world. We are in the kingdom of God. And of course, Jesus said in Matthew 6, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Orphan-hearted thinking is like something that where we're self-focused, where, of course, when we begin to understand our union with Jesus, that Jesus said, I will come and my Father will come and we will make our home in you. And we begin to understand that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, is when we focus on Christ in us rather than on our ability in our own management and trying to be our religious striving. It just absolutely sets us free. You know, orphan mindset seeks signs first. And so what, you know, oftentimes, you know, we talk about signs and the gifts and the power gifts and the Holy Spirit and the, you know, pews or pulpits shaking, you know, breaking in two and all this other stuff, like that we can be focused on and trying to find some affirmation in our heart by the works that we do. But, you know, we don't have to seek signs first. Actually, the Bible says that signs will follow us. And, you know, and Psalm 23, King David writes, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And in the Hebrew word there for following is like a puppy dog is following its master. It's like goodness and mercy are chasing us. You know, we don't have to chase these things as sons and daughters to Yahweh. You know, we can just absolutely rest in the idea of our true identity. You know, the orphan heart, the orphan mindset, the orphan world system lives a life of fear. Right? Because, you know, and we understand that today, you know, especially with when we're dealing with this idea of even in the media and with COVID and all the things that we're dealing with, that there can be a lot of fear in our life. But we know from 1 John 4:18 that says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So my encouragement to you, if you struggle with fear, and I struggle with fear, and this is the struggle, this is the tension, that you just ask the Father, say, oh Father, that's an orphan-hearted thinking. Would you just have that drive out fear from my heart? You know, oftentimes an orphan mindset will battle condemnation and judgment, and we know what Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I just want to encourage you, there is a big difference from conviction of the Holy Spirit versus condemnation. Condemnation comes and brings a judgment about you. You are bad. You should be ashamed. But the Holy Spirit, when he brings conviction, there's always a remedy. There's always something that he goes, oh, I wasn't kind to my wife. Well, just say you're sorry, Barry. You know, there's a resolution to that where the Holy Spirit brings conviction. But there is therefore now no condemnation. And, you know, if you battle with an orphan mindset, you know, and this is, I can get into this where you just emphasize good works. Like, what did I do today? You know, oftentimes, you know, like the days where I feel I've had maybe good devotions or I've done something spiritual, I feel maybe I'm more entitled to come into the throne room of God. In the days where maybe I didn't have such great faith and maybe I struggled and I was fearful or disappointed or discouraged, maybe I don't. But the truth is that it's not on our works. You know, we know that we've been saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. So that we know that grace is a gift. It is everything that the Father gives us is a gift. He's the Father of lights. And we don't, so our emphasis isn't on the establishing a righteousness based on our good works. You know, if we struggle in an orphan world system, anxiety can dominate thinking. And of course, you know, whether it's fear of the future, fear of our health, fear for our kids, fear of all kinds of things that can cause us to be afraid and full of anxiety. And the Bible says is that the peace of Christ will guard our hearts and our minds. You know, Jesus said to us, to his disciples, but by virtue of them, he said it to us, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. And I believe that the Father, even tonight, if you're struggling with any kind of anxiety or depression or stress and you're feeling overwhelmed, just peace of Christ, the peace of Jesus himself is your birthright. It's part of your inheritance package. And I just encourage you to say, Father, as your little boy, little girl, I just want to enjoy that. I just want to take that. An orphan heart it can strive in human effort, you know, and a son or daughter, a little heir enters into the rest of God. And that's what it says in Hebrews 4, that there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, that anyone who enters into the rest of God has ceased from his own works as God has ceased from his. And I really believe that entering into the rest of God doesn't mean we're not working, but we're not striving. We are absolutely entering into the rest that God comes from God. You know, an orphan heart might, you know, like see maturity even as independence, you know, but in a biblical understanding of Christian maturity, we know that that is complete dependence. In John 5:19-20, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. An orphan can struggle with shame, and the way we deal with shame, just like Adam and Eve did, is that we sew fig leaves together of our own making to cover our nakedness. But you see, when we know that we're loved of the Father, we know that He is for us and not against us, then we don't have to be strong. We don't have to be confident. We don't have to have the bravado that will try to convince people we're okay the way we are. We can boast in our weakness. And of course, you know, that's what Paul had the revelation of the thorn of the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, when he had this aha moment where he began to see that when he was weak, then he was strong, because Christ's strength was made perfect in his weakness. And so as heirs of God, as little heirs, boys and girls in the kingdom of God, we don't have to be strong. And I don't know about you, but that's great news for me. You know, I can boast in my weakness. I don't have to try to cover it up and pretend it doesn't exist, because that's just exhausting. And, you know, that orphan heart is trying to create new fig leaves, like, am I okay now? Am I okay now? I did this now. I did this. Am I okay? Man, I believe the Lord wants just to set you free and set me free and just take a deep breath and say, oh, Father, thank you that I don't have to do those things anymore. You know, orphans build walls of self-protection. Sons and daughters know that we live in the secret place of the Most High. He that dwells, Psalm 91, in the secret place of the Most High shall dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Orphan-hearted thinking struggles with pride. And we know that in James it says that God resists the proud. Right? So their pride actually resists God's grace. But then that scripture says, but He gives grace to the humble. And when we are sons and daughters, we are little heirs of God, where there's nothing to prove. We can just be at rest. We can just embrace the childlike humility, where, and that's the magnet that attracts the grace of God. Isn't that great? I mean, the world system that we live in, man, it's brutal. It's unkind. They only celebrate your most recent success. If you fail or if you're inactive, you can be tossed out with the tomorrow or today's newspaper, you know, and it's just that kind of pressure I believe the Father wants to set us free from. You know, if you're an orphan, you don't have an inheritance because you don't have parents. But we know that God is our dad and that Jesus, our big brother, has actually shared His entire inheritance with us. It's amazing. Orphans tend to lean to their own understanding, right? Because their own mechanisms. You know, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. You see, we don't have to resort to the intellect and our own understanding. It's like in that scripture, it says, like, you know, either we trust the Lord with our heart or we lean to our own understanding. You really can't do both. That when we know that we're heirs of God, we can begin the journey of trust, and that God wants to reestablish childlike trust in our hearts, where He is the biggest, best dad in the universe. And we actually trust that He looks after our details. You know, Jesus told the parable of the sower and the seed, and it talked about the seed that fell on thorny ground, and that the cares of this world choked out its fruitfulness. Because, you know, we were distracted, you know, they were distracted by all of the cares of this world. And I believe when Jesus talked about that, it wasn't talking about anything really overly fleshly. It was just mortgages and finances and RSP, you know, registered retirement plans and health and kids and am I liked and all those things. But you see, we know that the fruitfulness that brings glory to the Father is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You know, that the more that we are able to understand that it's not our fruit. I don't have to be, I can't bear any fruit. Jesus said in John 15, when He talked about the fruitfulness, He said, apart from Me, you can do nothing. But when we begin to yield to the Spirit of God that's in us, it just takes away all the pressure. You know, orphans struggle to try to make people happy, you know, people pleasing. I come from a long line of people pleasing. I know this struggle to the very core, but it comes from a place where I need You to tell me who I am. I need You to reinforce to me who I am, so I can have a sense of security about me. But when we begin to know we are loved with an everlasting love, then we become free to be ourselves. And it's not like we are rude with the way, don't care in a harsh way about what people think of us, but we're free to be us. And if people don't like us, I remember hearing James Jordan say one time, if you don't like me, that just shows the difference between you and God, because he thinks I'm wonderful. And when we realize that the Father loves us, then the opinions of others don't really mean so much. Orphans tend to carry the weight of the world on their shoulders. And in 1 Peter 5, Peter writes, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. So, every care, and the way I like to think of that is it's kind of like in our backpack. I have a backpack full of rocks, and every rock is a care. And I have cares. You have cares. We all have cares. It's like just to take every care out, look at it and say, Father, I'm casting this care onto your shoulders. Orphans, because they don't have fathers and mothers to care for them, they need to provide for themselves. But Jesus said, when he talked, I believe it was Matthew 6, he said, you don't have to do a lot of speaking like the pagans do. Because when they speak, they think that all their words are going to make the gods hear them more. But your Father knows what you need before you even ask. You see, the more that we have the revelation of his provision and his attentiveness even to our prayers, it just sets our hearts free. Orphans work hard to be accepted. And and their value is based on their performance, and it's a continuum that never ever ends, because they always have to be performing. But sons and daughters live in a place of, we are already accepted. We are accepted in the beloved, the Bible says. Orphans want to be blessed. They want to focus on blessings and kind of striving for those blessings. But as sons and daughters, we know that we're blessed. Ephesians 1:3 says we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So we want to be a blessing, because we don't have to strive for it. We don't have to compete for blessings. We can just absolutely just be a waterfall of those blessings to other people. Orphans work for wages. Everything is about working to get the, a fee, a wage, where we work with our Father, right? We know that, we're co-laborers with Christ, the Bible says. So we work with God, like God actually works with us. We're part of the family business. So he has entrusted us with part of the work that he's called us to do. Galatians 5:1 says, do not be entangled once again with the yoke of slavery. And the yoke of slavery is our old identity. The yoke of slavery is the orphan mindset. The yoke of slavery is the old way. It's the ways of this world. But then Paul says in Galatians 5:1, he says, it's for freedom's sake that Christ set you free. And sons and daughters, the more that we are convinced that we're not orphans, that we're actually legitimate heirs to God, the more that it will affect our ability to live a free life. Orphans focus on receiving, or on earning. Everything again is about wages and productivity. But we know everything that we have in the kingdom is from receiving, right? Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And as Jesus sent his disciples out, he said, freely as you receive, freely give. Little kids love to receive. And I really believe the more that you and I can have the childlike humility to open up our hands and say, Father, I just want to receive from you today, the more that he is able to actually impart the kingdom to us. See, orphan mindsets see limitations through their human reason. So like if we're trying to think about what we can do, it's based on what we can do, what our resources, what our strength is, what is our finances, what's our intellectual properties. It's based on our own abilities. But when you have you're a little boy or a little girl with a big dad, the sky's the limit. Jesus said, speak to that mountain, and if you don't doubt in your heart, it'll be cast in the sea. Raising the dead is a pretty big deal. Healing the sick. The idea that the more that we enter into the kingdom with the beautiful childlike heart, and we have that childlike faith restored, then the sky's the limit. There is no impossibilities, because it's not based on us. It's based on God. Orphans can focus on trying to be competent. Little kids, we're part of that. Are happy to be foolish. God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Orphans live with a guarded heart. They're trying to protect themselves. Heirs are happy to be vulnerable and just have that soft and tender heart. Orphans find identity in what they do. Of course, as heirs, sons and daughters, we find our identity in who we belong to. And the more that we really, really get sorted in our heart, the idea that we're sons and daughters to Yahweh, that we're not illegitimate children, we're not orphans from an orphanage brought into his house, but we were born of God. His seed, his sperm seed, 1 John says, his seed remains in us, his sperma, the sperma of God lives in us. It just sets our heart at rest. Sets our identity at rest. See, orphans try to control circumstances. And, you know, the more that we just know that we're in the kingdom, that we can embrace surrender. I don't have to control. The truth is I can't control my heartbeat. I don't know how long I will live. But if I try to control my circumstances, that will just bring more anxiety and fear. But the more that I can embrace surrender and the simplicity of living in love, the easier life will get. And I truly believe that manifestation of living as sons and daughters to Yahweh will just become very, very, the joy of the Lord will just absolutely become front and center for us. Orphans carry heavy burdens. Jesus invites us to share his easy yoke. In Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. Orphans can feel misunderstood and alone. And we know that we have the God and Father of compassion who understands us. He knows how we were made. He remembers that we came from dust. Orphans can focus on, like an orphan mindset, on the darkness and warfare and the battle. And you know, not saying there isn't battles and all those things. But the reality is, as sons and daughters to Yahweh, we live under an open heaven. Just like Jesus had an open heaven where the Father spoke, you are my son whom I love. In you I'm well pleased. We live under that same open heaven. Orphans can work to gain acceptance. We work because we are accepted. Orphans can be impatient. And one of the things that is a hallmark, I believe, of a sonship is that we're happy to wait on the Lord. Wait upon the Lord and you will renew your strength. And Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And the only way that you and I can live a life of being led is to have that orphan-hearted initiative be dismantled so that we can be led by God. Orphans hold on to things lightly. You know, heirs just say, hey, I'll hang on to it loosely. My father, he's loaded. He's got everything I can give away. I don't have to have this ownership on things. I can just be very generous. Orphans seek the seat of honor, and Jesus said for us to take the lowest seat, like, because it doesn't define us anymore. We're not defined by taking that seat of honor. You know, orphans struggle with people pleasing. Could you imagine living with no fear of man? I struggle with people pleasing, but to be able to be at a place in my heart where I'm not afraid anymore, it's just absolutely, like, I just every day I say, Father, whatever orphan influences are in me, would you just be able to, just love those out of me so I'm not afraid anymore. Orphans put a value on being wise and prudent. And sons and daughters, you were just happy to be childlike. That's what Jesus prayed in Matthew 11, 25 and 26. He said, I thank you, Father, for you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you've revealed them to little children, for this is your good pleasure. Do you see the contrast? You know, we could go on and on. You know, for orphans, reputation is everything. And the Bible says that Jesus made himself of no reputation because we understand that our identity is in God. And so we don't have to try to puff ourselves up. You know, orphans can struggle with being competitive and comparing. And, you know, as sons and daughters, when we realize that the entire inheritance is ours, we can be happy when others do well. We don't have to feel like it's a reflection on our own identity. You know, and orphans can struggle with insecurity and feel easily threatened. And we know we're accepted in the Beloved. We know that, you know, everything is absolutely, we're safe and we're secure. Orphans can struggle with self-hatred, right? Because again, they're just having this measurement that is absolutely impossible. But sons and daughters, the more that we know we're loved, then we know that we love because he first loved us. And then we begin to realize that life is just a simple response to him loving us. Orphans, in the very core of the orphan heart, is they feel fatherless. But sons and daughters know we have a dad. Almighty God is the biggest, best dad in the universe, and he's my dad. He's my Abba. He's my Papa. And when you and I, when that just goes deeper into our hearts, the orphan ways, the orphan mindsets that can cause us to struggle, I truly believe they get sorted out. You know, orphans try to be big and competent, where I believe this is where heirs of God are happy to live like a little child. And of course, Matthew 18, verse 1 to 5, when Jesus said that the greatest in the kingdom is a childlike heart. And you and I can have this encounter with the love of God that so changes us that we can turn and go in the opposite direction and just be little again and just have the bigness of God to be the very core of our life. Jack Winter used to say we have a choice in life, that we can choose to be big in our own resources, or we can choose to be little and have God be big in our hearts. I just want to encourage you. I don't know if this is helpful, but this is not something where we're trying to overanalyze our life, but to understand that the true identity that God sees us as this little heir. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. We are loved with an everlasting love. When he sees us, he sees us through the lens of love. We are completely accepted. And sure, we're going to have this other nagging things from the soul, the realm of the soul, but the Father, I truly believe, wants to set us free. You see, before Jesus went to the cross in John 14, 18, he made a promise. He said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And the promise I believe that the Father wants to encourage us with today is that he's saying the same thing to us. If you struggle with orphan ways, I do, and I probably will for the rest of my life. But I pray that the Father will continue to love the orphan out of us. You see, I truly believe that Romans 12, 1 and 2 describes the transformation process that we're all under. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good, well-pleasing, and perfect will of God. And that word transform there is metamorphosis. That's the Greek word, which means is the metamorphosis of changing from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And I truly believe the caterpillar is the old way. It's the orphan thinking. It's the orphan mindsets. And the Father wants to transform you and I to be sons and daughters to Yahweh. Here's a picture of our youngest grandchild, Levi. He's 2.5 years of age now. And if you look at his face, he is in the sweet spot of being a child. He's, you know, communicating really well. He understands and he's full of life. And he is a much loved child. He comes from a beautiful, loving, supportive home. And I truly believe when I see him and how he navigates life, I believe that the Father just has so much joy in seeing how the zest he has. And I truly believe that the more that you and I are just coming to a place of knowing how much we're loved, the more the freedom we will have to become little again. We won't have to be competent and try to, you know, impress everybody, but we can just know we're loved. And as Ephesians 5:1 says in the New Living Translation, it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. And my prayer for you and I today is that we would be able to get into a place where we would just realize, that we're just much loved little kids of Yahweh. And we don't have to protect ourselves. We don't have to provide ourselves. We don't have to make things happen. But that we can just absolutely come into a place that the Father is just so delighted to give us his kingdom. So I just want to encourage you to just put your hand on your heart and just ask the Father if there's any of this that resonates with you. And I just believe there's absolutely no condemnation. It's just like, I want to love the orphan out of you tonight. Would you just be willing right now just to say to the Father, Father, you understand me like no one else. And would you just love the orphan out of me, the orphan ways, the orphan mindsets? They're not me. They're not part of my true identity anymore. They're the old life. I want to live as a son. I want to live as a daughter. I want to live as an heir of Jesus on planet Earth right now. So, Father, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven through me? Abba, thank you that we are your children now. That's how heaven sees us. Just encourage you to take a deep breath and just receive his love. Any fear, any anxiety, any stress about the future, about your present situation, I just pray that the love of God would come and he'd set you free to be that little heir. As Jesus said in Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Father, I pray for faith tonight, for your sons and your daughters, just to have this childlike faith to receive the kingdom just like little kids would. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me, and again, Mark and I will be back next week. And as I just sign off tonight, I'm just gonna end with the little 3-minute video I created about the kingdom before, and I just encourage you just take it with all your heart and say, yes, Father, I just receive the kingdom just like a little child would. Bless you, and see you next week.